our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Shine into our hearts the light of your wisdom, O God, and open our minds to the knowledge of your word, that in all things we may think and act according to your good will, and may live continually in the light of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
The first reading is from 1 Samuel. Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. His mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year, when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the Lord repay you with children by this woman for the gift that she made to the Lord." And then they would return to their home. Now the boy Samuel continued to grow both in stature and in favor with the Lord and with the people. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Colossians. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, Lord. Now every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was with the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, Why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety. He said to them, Why are you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Do you have a baby book that your parents made for you when you were an infant? If you were the first child or an only child, your baby book was probably much more detailed than mine. My brother, older brother, is the firstborn of my parents, the first grandchild on both sides, and his baby book records the first everything, the first time he rolled over, the first tooth, the first day of school, the first smile, the first word, on and on. Now, my book, a little less detailed. There is, in my baby book, a lock of my curly red hair and the date of my first haircut. That's about it. A little sketchy. Kind of like Jesus' baby book. We don't know too much about Jesus. We know about his birth. And not a lot else until he starts his public ministry. Now, Mary could have told us some stories, and we wouldn't have to speculate and wonder. And people wouldn't have had to make up stories about Jesus. Now, maybe you've heard some of these stories. Anne Rice, you know this author? She wrote a book last year on the first 12 years of Jesus' life. It's called Christ the Lord. Kind of an interesting story. She bases it on speculation and on some of the old legends in the church. One of the old legends is that when Jesus was, I would say 7 or 8 years old, playing out on the playground, one of the other boys, a little playground bully, bumped into him. And Jesus turns in anger and curses him to death and then raises him back to life. Earlier than that, there's a story that Jesus was playing in the sandbox with his friends, and they were all making little things out of the clay, out of the mud, making mud pies. Well, Jesus is a little bit better than the other boys, and he makes a little bird that he throws up in the air, and it flies away. Now, you can see why these stories didn't make it in the early church, that these are not consistent with the truth that we know about Jesus. There's a story when he was 13 years old, he took a sailing trip and sailed to England with Joseph of Arimathea, nonetheless, and he built a church by his own hands to honor his mother, Mary. So there's a church somewhere in England that is supposedly built by the child Jesus when he was an early teenager. Now, the early church dismissed all of these stories and said, let's just stick with the gospel. And so we have a sketchy story, a sketchy baby book of Jesus. The gospel that we heard this morning is one of the stories that we know about Jesus. He goes with his parents, as usual, good Jewish family, always went for their annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem at Passover time. And at 12 years old, he goes along with them, and the worried parents have lost him in the crowd. For 3 days, they're hunting for him, and they find him finally talking theology in the temple. Now, I think this story is as much about Mary, the mother, as it is about Jesus. On the one hand, you can imagine, you can hear Mary saying, isn't it enough? I gave birth to this child in a cold stable. Isn't it enough that we had to risk our lives and become refugees when there was a massacre. Isn't that enough? Couldn't we just have a normal life? Couldn't we just learn your father's occupation and find a nice Jewish girl and get married, give me grandchildren, so that I can have some respect among the other women and the grandmothers in Nazareth? Enough already. On the one hand, you can hear Mary saying that. Isn't there some way I could just put up a little wall around Nazareth? Can't we just do God's work here at home and forget about that outside world? On the one hand, you can imagine Mary saying that. On the other hand, this is the Mary who shouted hooray, hooray for God, when she heard the word that she was pregnant and would carry the child who would be the Savior of the world. This is the Mary who patted her tummy and said, this one is going to turn the world upside down. This is the one who will, in that beautiful song that we sang during evening prayer, all during Advent, lift up the lowly. The rich will be sent away hungry. The poor will be given their right status. This is the one. And already, now, at only 12 years old, he's starting to go his own way. He's seeking his own path. Mary had taken this child to the temple when he was just 8 days old for that usual Jewish tradition, the parents bringing the child to the temple. She knew he was a gift from God. And yet, when this 12-year-old looks at them and says, didn't you know that I must be in my father's house? Those words must have stung. Those words must have hurt her heart. There are other stories we hear about Mary in Scripture, stories where she tries both at the same time to pull Jesus closer and to let him go to be about his father's business. That story when she sees him teaching in the crowd and she sends word to Jesus, tell him that his mother and his brothers are here. And as she does, Jesus looks at the crowd and says, who's my mother? Who are my brothers? It's those who keep the word of God, who do the will of my father. Now, Mary did the will of the Father. She knew that he was not excluding her, but including her, but also including all these others. Those words must have been difficult for her. And later, at the foot of the cross, when she held in her arms the lifeless body of her son, now totally given back to God, did she know that there would be an Easter after this bad Friday that we call good? Did she know that Jesus' victory would be hers and ours? Did she know, or did she hear those words that she shouted out at the date of his conception and think all that joy was in vain because Herod now has won? If Mary had wanted to build a wall around Nazareth and keep Jesus there, just stay at home, be a carpenter, give me grandchildren, we could understand that kind of temptation to want that for her son. We have that same kind of impulse. Real life takes energy, takes a lot of work. Meals to prepare, children to raise. Why do we have to pay attention to the outside world? We've got enough troubles in our own lives, in our own homes. Why do we have to be concerned about the world beyond us? Why especially at Christmas time, why do we have to be concerned and hear about children who are born in cold and in poverty? Why do we have to hear stories of massacres? Why is it that even today, children are still being born in cold and in poverty, and Herod after Herod massacres children? Only 1 week ago, many of us stood in this room and held candles and prayed and sang for Silent Holy Night. We light our candles. We light our Christmas trees. We drive down Garrison Avenue or Street so that we can look at the bright lights of Christmas. And our hearts are warmed at that thought that Christ is the light. And the light will not be overcome by the darkness. God has taken on our flesh, and God's love for us will not be extinguished, cannot be extinguished. But there is a temptation. Mary could have been tempted, and we too are tempted, to want to build a wall around our own little Nazareth, to shut out the darkness from the outside world. But we cannot give in to that temptation. When we celebrate baptism, like we will do in a few minutes with Eric, like we did last Sunday with Ian, we light a candle and we praise God for the light. And then we promise, we say, we will go out and carry that word of Christ to the outside world. We will work for justice and for peace in all of the world. We say that we will care for others. We say that we will proclaim Christ in word and in deed. Now there's a temptation to turn inward, to build our own safe and secure little world. But God calls us to take our light to that outside world, to proclaim God's most amazing grace beyond the security of our own small world. And St. Paul tells us how to do it. If you need a New Year's resolution, take home the bulletin and pin up on your bathroom mirror the second reading. Clothe yourself in compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Bear with one another. And if somebody has something against you, or if you have something against someone else, forgive each other. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, because we are all one body. And then the last three lines of that, and be thankful. Maybe that part is enough for your New Year's resolution. And be thankful. With that kind of an attitude, we can hold our candles against the darkness. We can change the world, because Christ is the light of the world. I pray that someday, in the not too distant future, that when it comes Christmas time and we tell this story, and we tell the story about the child being born in the cold and Herod massacring the innocent children, when we get to that part and the children say, boy, that was pretty awful, we can say, yeah, it was awful. But things like that don't happen anymore, because there is no poverty in the world. There is no war. There is no violence in our world anymore, because Christ is the light of the world. I pray that someday soon we will be able to proclaim that that there is no poverty or war or violence, that our candles held against the darkness and the violence in the world will have cast that out. The darkness, the violence, the fear, the loneliness, the anger in our world and in our own hearts. And so we pray. Christ, light of the world, shine your brightness in our hearts and in our world.